Y'all ready for the word this morning? Built for Christ, part two. This is kind of like an identity thing, and I don't normally preach sermon series and stuff. I try not to, because I just want to be obedient to God. So I was asking him, what do you want me to preach on? Every week I do that. And here's what it is. Part two. I was hoping he would go a different direction, but he's going on this. Identity. We can get so wrapped up in our identity in this world and the culture and things that of this nature. It's like, but the thing is that your identity is in Jesus. You were made by him and for him. It's in him. Nothing else. It's not even your job. I said, that's just a title that you may have. But your true identity is in Jesus. Years ago, playing hoops, I mean, that's where my identity was. I would only talk to people if they talked about sports. My ears would just kind of perk up. All right, anything else? I didn't know anything else. I didn't want to know anything else. Because everything else to me was irrelevant. But when it comes to Jesus now, our ears can perk up, our hearts can begin to start feeling all warm on the inside and stuff because we were made by him and for him. There is nothing in this world and in our culture that can ever fill what's in our heart that's towards God. It can't take its place. Nothing. We may try to fill it with all sorts of junk, getting busy, doing things that we probably shouldn't be doing things that are distractions, wasting our time, but nothing will ever fill that void than just sitting down and being in the presence of God, reading and operating in his word. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Revelation chapter 1. This is John speaking. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Jesus revealed this revelation to John himself. John did not get it from some other man. He didn't get it from some other book. He got it from Jesus. It came straight from the throne of heaven. It was hot off the press. And the thing is, it says, and he sent and signified it by his angels to his servant, John. True believers in Jesus are servers, servants. We're not consumers. If you're thinking that, well, you know, I go to church and, you know, you hear people talk about, man, I just need to be fed. I need to be fed. When you're a mature Christian, you know how to feed yourself. Babies need to be fed. But when you become older, you can pick up the peas and put them in your mouth and they can teach you to use a utensil. You know how to get fed, even if you're in the driest place on earth. Well, I went to this church. I tried that church out, but it wasn't the word of faith. Okay, so what? Word of faith isn't the only doctrine in the Bible. You can feed yourself. You can feed. We preach the word of faith amongst other things. The Apostle Paul said, but what does it say? The word is near you, is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is a doctrine in the Bible, but it is not the only doctrine. I think we jumped ahead here. Still on verse 2. It says, verse 3, it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. See, it's not enough to just hear the Bible, to read the Bible. But it's also important to obey the Bible. You keep what you treasure in your heart. Now, what is the blessing of God that Jesus is talking about? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In Genesis 12, 1 to 3, it talks about, I didn't give you that scripture, so don't worry about it. It says, I will make you a great nation. This is Jesus, God talking to Abraham. I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. So why would you not want to read the word and keep it? Right? Blessings for obedience to the word of God. The enemy does not want you to be obedient to God's word because he doesn't want you being blessed. He wants you cursed. He wants you thinking that you're living in a curse. He wants you thinking and believing that this stuff does not work. Your faith does not work. You don't have the victory that you say you do. Jesus really didn't do that. I've been trying to work on a series called Hijacked. And it's just basically when people's testimonies, Jesus had done so many great things in their life and they're a living testimony, and then somebody comes and hijacks the story and alters it and changes it up and then presents it to other people as such. You know, like when Jesus, he was resurrected and went up and sat at the right hand of God. The chief priests paid the Roman soldiers to go out and tell them, hey, the disciples came and took his body. And the Bible talks about, and to this day, that news has been spread throughout all of Jerusalem, that his body was stolen by his own disciples. See, they try to hijack the story of Jesus, the resurrection, but they couldn't. But they tried. Many people try to hijack your story on things that God has done in your life and your testimony and what has been revealed to you, but they can't really do it because it's not their testimony, it's yours. You will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. It's got to come out of your mouth. Everyone has a mouth to speak. You confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. Come on. Verse 4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, you know there were more than just seven churches, but these seven churches basically represent all the churches from around the world, even today. You'll get some parts of this church may be like the church of Ephesus over here, and this church, I said, everyone is operating in something, okay? And when he gives all the rebukes, in the seven churches, you will see the same type of conflict going on in all these churches today. Now you know that the number seven means perfection. It means fullness and even completion. You don't have to turn here, but you can write it down, Revelation 4:5. Did I give you that scripture? Don't worry about it. Revelation 4:5, it says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation 5:1, it says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on back, set sealed with seven seals. Revelation 5:6, and I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Revelation 8:2 says, and I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. There are a lot more scriptures than that that deals with the number seven. Seven is a good number. Jesus being perfect in every way, he was a perfect sacrificial lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. He was perfect. The seven spirits of God are joined together with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is called seven different names in the New Testament. One of them is in John 16:13. He is called the Spirit of Truth. In Romans 1:4, he is called the Spirit of Holiness. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he is called the Spirit of Faith. In Ephesians 1:13 and in verse 17, he is called the Spirit of Promise. And he's also called the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. In Hebrews 10:29, he is called the Spirit of Grace. And in 1 Peter 4:14, he is called the Spirit of Glory. Going back to verse 5, Revelation 1:5, it says this, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, how can Jesus be the firstborn from the dead when we know that Lazarus was raised to life? What about the prophet that spoke into those dry bones and flesh came up on him? Well, Jesus is the firstborn because he was the first one who was resurrected and is still living in that immortal body. The same body he died, he was raised to life. Lazarus ended up dying again. That's why he's the firstborn. And then when he comes back, and if we're still here and then people in the grave, they shall be raised to life. They will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Some people, if it was according to me, would have different types of bodies. But they will change from mortal to immortal. That's why he's the firstborn. Jesus will not and cannot lie. He won't bend the truth for anyone. That's how much he loves us. And he says in John 8, 31, 32, it says, if you continue in my word, then you are his disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth shall do what? It'll set you free. King James Version says it'll make you free. The firstborn from the dead. Verse 6, it says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is future tense. But you will have to overcome all the trials, all the tribulation, all the persecution. When you endure to the very end, he will make you kings and priests in his kingdom. Do we have any kings here on earth? Yes, there are some kings. Do we? People think that President Trump is a king. He's the president. But the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm the king of my castle. My wife is the queen. I said, you can't be the king and the queen. What are you talking about? What are you shaking your head for? You can't be both. This is future tense, but we'll have to overcome and keep his word until the end. Then he will give authority over all the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. So you have to overcome all the hardships, having victory over the opposition and anything the devil can throw at you. You shall be made kings and priests. And you cannot do that life without Jesus. You cannot do that life without surrendering to him. You can't go through all the hardships and everything else that is coming to face you, all the storms, without having that relationship with him. There's no way. There's no way you can do it. In Romans 5, turn over to Romans 5, 6 through 8. It says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, by nature, mankind was evil. Because of the fall of man, mankind was evil. The reason why God brought that flood, because his spirit could not contend with the evil that was going on in men's hearts and what they were doing. And when he sent that flood, flooded the earth, after it was all said and done, what did he give a sign as his covenant? A rainbow. Every time I see that rainbow, that just shows me how good God is. He will never flood the earth again. And it hasn't been flooded. I mean, I'm talking about all the earth. There have been areas that have been flooded. Even though all things were created by him and for him, humanity did not want anything to do with him. And he did nothing wrong to him. God did not sin against them. Man wanted their sin more so than they wanted God. Their identity was wrapped up in their sin. I'm reminded of how God had brought them out of Israel. I mean, out of Egypt. And then Moses went up into the mountains, getting his commandments. And then they were taken too long. They became so impatient with God. And they just said, hey, Moses, come on, make us another God. So they threw all their jewelry, all their gold down and everything else. And then they used a carving tool to form a calf. And they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Sometimes we can get so impatient with what God is doing in our life and what he's trying to give us that we end up doing something just totally far different than what he ever wanted us to do. Man can't save themselves. We can't save ourselves. There was not enough good works that you can do to save yourself, even in today's time. You can give everything you have to the poor. You can feed the orphans. You can build every type of orphanage that you want. Take care of all the widows. That is still not enough. You need a Savior. You need Jesus in your life. It says, but while we were yet still sinners, God sent his son to die for our sins, and Jesus took on the form of a bondservant and became just like us, like mankind. He stripped off his glory and stepped into a body of a bondservant. He came. The word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Why would anyone of us tie our identity to something else other than Jesus? That's crazy. I honestly believe, I said, what? I'm a believer. How can I tie myself up into somebody else's? Well, I'm a Calvinist. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. A Christian follows the teachings of Jesus. A Calvinist will follow the teachings of John Calvin. See the problem? You're a born-again believer. You're a child of God. Why would you settle for anything less? Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. So there is no other way that a man can be saved or even delivered from oppression. Today's time, I said, they teach you how to cope with everything you have. They'll teach you how to cope with demons, different personalities and stuff. 20 years from now, they'll still be coping with it, still be running tests, still be doing this, but they're taking their time with it. They're studying you out, and when you die off, they'll just be the next person studying it out. Where are you from? Well, I'm Billy. I'm from down south. Well, Billy, come out in the name of Jesus. And all your other friends. We are legion. 3,000 to 6,000 demons in one person, and they were sent out by one word because of the power and the anointing of God. Today's culture will teach you to cope with depression, with fear, with anxiety. Jesus has come to set you free from that. What are you fearing? Sometimes fear can just creep up. It's like, where'd you come from? Why am I fearing that? Why am I so anxious about that? What are you fearing? Sometimes I said, I have that. At times it's like, okay, I need to snap out. Let me get back into the word. That's okay if it has it, but it's not okay if it stays. Jesus came to set you free from all that junk, for it is the power of God unto deliverance. Stay back. Stop backing away from it and press in. Press in. Press into the anointing. Press into his presence. Press in to the power of God. You know, God is going to do something extraordinary here in Texas. So, but in Kansas, we won't be able to feel that type of power. No. He said it in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. Everyone in here. Everyone in this city. Everyone in this nation. All flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Y'all still having visions? And you're still young. If you're dreaming, he says your old man will dream dreams. Ain't nothing wrong with being old. But if you're still seeing visions, even when society may call you old, you're young according to Scripture. I'm going to go off of what Scripture says. I'm not going off of what the world says. That's not all. God says, I will pour out my spirit on my servants and my maidservants, and they will prophesy. But there's more. He says, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and renowned day of the Lord comes. And it will be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when certain things happen, cussing ain't going to get you out of it. Calling on our president's name is not going to get you out of it. Calling on your mom and dad is not going to get you out of it. It's not going to save you. It's calling on the name of Jesus, the name which is above all names. It's his name that's going to save you. It's his name that's going to deliver you. It's his name that's going to keep you free. Jesus. Your identity is in Christ alone. You may be a dad to your kids, but to God, you're his child. In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So you have to be led by the Spirit of God to be called a son of God. And remember, it isn't just being led because he's the Spirit of truth. Well, there's a thing. If he's the Spirit of truth, then what should be coming out of me is truth, not lies. Because he's leading me to speak the truth and to tell the truth and share the truth. If you're bending the truth, then the Spirit of God is not leading you. All that bending and twisting could get you all back all bent and twisted up. The Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory. That's the Spirit of God that's leading you. These are the sons of God. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. But God did not give you a spirit of fear. But of power, love, and what? Sound mind. Verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of God will never lead us away from his word. If that were so, he would not be called the Spirit of truth. Be the Spirit of deception. God knows who his children are. He chose them before the foundations of the world. So when we sin, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit. So you see in the early churches, they were one in heart, one in mind, one in spirit, one in truth. They were one in the word. That's why the prayers that they were praying were so powerful. Shaking the room. That's the Holy Spirit's there. Sometimes we have so much indifference. When we come in, again, it's about the name of Jesus. It's about glorifying God, not ourselves, not the pastor. Don't dare put me on a pedestal. Jesus alone, he's there. In verse 17, it says, and if children, the heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Jesus is heir to all things. If we are joint heirs with him, we stand to inherit what he inherits. Not to take what he take away from him or from anyone else. We all inherit what Jesus inherits. We're joint heirs. We rule and we reign together with Jesus. So why get yourself wrapped up in something else? Well, that's my identity. That's not your identity. That's just what you do. Your identity is truly in Jesus. It's in Christ. Jesus knows your name. Jesus doesn't call you by your sin. He calls you by name. He's made you righteous through his atonement. He calls you by name. Anybody know what their name means? What's your name, Tracy? Warrior. Come on. Huh? Who else knows what their name means? Run. Huh? Grand. That reminds me of a song back in the day that they taught us because I had one of the best teachers. She was Mrs. Syrette. I had her for third and fourth. You're a grand old flag. You're a high flying flag. Infrared. I love all those songs, man. What? Who else? Raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Joy. Your name means joy. Joy. What does it mean again? Come on. I'm going to say that one more time. What does it mean? Joy. Are you feeling that stirring up on the inside of you? All the stuff you told me, are you feel that stirring up on the inside of you? Come on. It means what? Joy. Hallelujah. God is healing you right now. Spirit, soul, body. He is healing you right now. I've got the joy, joy, joy. Yes, sir. Yahweh is God. That's good. That's good. Yahweh is God. That's good. Who else? One more. Yes, ma'am. Huh? Gift from God. That is cool. That is awesome. You are a gift. See, next time Chris gets on you, say, hey, I'm a gift from God. You, that's why. No, he's a good man. I'm going to go Erica one more time. Yeah, go ahead. Leader. Amen. Amen. Your name means something. God ain't spending his time calling you out of something that you're not. He's not checking up on your past. Your name means something. Your past is the past. It's behind you. Leave it there. We all fall short of God's glory, but that doesn't mean we give up because we fall short. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your past go. Whatever you're struggling with, you have to understand Jesus has already done it. He's already set you free from it. You just have to walk on out and continue to live for him. Now, that's going to take discipline. Discipline's a good thing. I wish I was more disciplined in my diet. But I just figured it out. It's not what I eat. It's the lack of exercise because I still eat the same. I was skinny. I was just playing more. So if I go out and play 5 hours of basketball now, I'll be good. And sore. 5 hours for the year rather than for the day. He did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The fear of taking that next step. If you're afraid to take that step that he's already told you, you'll never take it. Go ahead and take it and see what happens. Watch what happens. He's going to be all over it if you take that step. Some of you are afraid to share your faith with people because you don't want to look weird. Just pray and ask God to help you in that. There's nothing wrong with rehearsing your testimony with people, with yourself, so that you can share it with people. Be ready. Be instant in season. There's nothing wrong with that. Write it down if you have to. Some people are going to look, I said, just. But be ready to share that. Hallelujah. Joy. Joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ma'am, how'd you hurt your arm? How'd your, you were born without it? Amen. Have you ever prayed about it? Have you ever asked God for a new arm? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're built for Christ. Don't let anyone tell you different. If what you're experiencing isn't the abundant life with Jesus, you're being robbed. Don't allow the enemy to rob you not one more second. If you're not experiencing abundant life right now, you are being robbed in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for all you've done. If there's anyone here who is experiencing some pain in their body right now, we just command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. We thank you for a renewed mind and a renewed heart. There's anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus and they want to do that for the first time. You've never made him your Lord and Savior. If you were to die today, you don't know if you would spend eternity with him. And you want to do that today, raise your hand. We'll pray with you. I take it that everyone knows Jesus. Amen. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. And we'll pray with you. Lord, I thank you. I ask as they read your word and stay obedient, that you will stay true to your word because you are the Spirit of truth and you will bless them like you said you will bless them. You will bless their name. You will make them a great nation. Everyone who blesses them will be blessed, Lord. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tom, you can come on up.
Good morning. Nobody's sleeping now, are they? We have some guests here in church this morning. So after his name is Sean and her name's Madison. So if you'd greet them and just welcome them to our church, we want to thank them for showing up today and hope to God that they'll be back to hear some more of what Pastor has to preach. So thank you for coming. They're right over there in the corner. So just say hi to them when you're finished. Reason I'm up here is this is Pastor Appreciation Day. We just picked this day because it works out for the people that are here. You can give any time you want to, but what we're going to do is take up, we have envelopes and baskets back there and stuff for the pastors of this church. We got Pastor Tim and Brandon, Isaiah, Trenton. So if your heart says to give, give, and to sit right back there. But the Pastor Tim is our shepherd, and we want to honor him. You can't go anyplace else and get the word like you can get it here. These people are called by God. They're doing what God called them to do. And we just want to continue to bless them and give them a reason to keep coming back, because they spend many, many hours when they're up here preparing their sermon for us. Just like somebody just come back here and told me just now, just a minute ago, that they said, I needed that. I need to hear that, what you just shared with us. And we do. We thank you for what you're giving up, because 10 years ago, you and Brandon might have been, but the others, you had no idea you're going to be up here doing this thing. God called you. So you're here for this season. So we want to thank you for that. So if you stretch out your hands, we want to pray over our pastors, and afterwards just shake hands and or give them a hug, but no kisses. No kisses, okay? So, Father God, we just lift up these men to you right now. We thank you, Father God, for choosing them to be our shepherds, to be our spokespersons for this church body. We thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge and the grace that you have blessed them with, and we pray you continue to keep them in good health physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally. Bless them in every area of their lives, Father God, because we know that they have more good works in store for the people of this church body. So we thank you for blessing this body with these men, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's stand. Shake somebody's hand on the way out. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.